Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
You're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. We want victory. We want no defeats. We want victory, right? This is what has been made available to you in Christ. Victory. There's no more sweating like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. No, you'll make it. Stop relying on yourself. Stop trusting in yourself. Surrender to Jesus. You will make it. You're going to make it. If God is for you, then who can be against us?
If you're a parent, then you know how strongly you love your children. Despite disobedience and disrespect and downright growing pains, you support them in all of their successes and failures. The same can be said about God. The difference, though, is that His love is perfect. If we've accepted Jesus, there's no condemnation or separation. He's with us 24/7. Pastor James's message today brings us back to that simple truth that we have victory in Jesus. That work in our life began at the cross, and He's going to stick with us till the very end. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Romans chapter 8 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Really nice when the passage of scripture we're going through is like super encouraging. Not that they're not always, but you get kind of hammered as you go through the book of Romans. I don't know about you guys, but what we're going to go through the last bit of Romans chapter 8 is, if you're not excited about Jesus after this, then I don't know what else to do for you. Honestly, maybe I've gone my limit. I don't know, but this last little bit of Romans chapter 8 is super encouraging. It should be super exciting for each and every one of us. Man, this is like the jolt I think that each and every one of us needs today to not just finish, but to finish well. Like, that's your goal. That's the end result for you. The end goal for you is to finish well. Finish well. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it through your own strength, through your own might, through your own wisdom, your own intellect. I'm sorry, but you don't have enough of any of those or all of those combined. Okay. You need Jesus. Okay. You need Jesus above and beyond anybody else on this planet. You need Him. Okay. Paul knows that. He understands that. And he's going to, before we transition into a whole nother section of Romans with 9, 10, and 11, he is buttoning up from chapter 5 to chapter 8. Like, this is what we need. This is what you and I need. So, let's read through this passage, because it's not a lot of verses, but let's read through this together, starting in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, that's the Southern James coming out, peril, sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Come on, man. That's like, that's what you need today, right? Let me pray, and we're gonna go through this thing, because there's seven questions I get asked and answered. You don't have to worry about answering any of these questions, because God's already done it for you. Okay? So this isn't a pop quiz. This is my kind of quiz. When I showed up to school, it was like, hey, we got a quiz for you. Oh, by the way, the answers are in the back of the book, right? I'm like, sweet. Like, that was a wonderful day at school for me, okay? We're going to pray, but we're going to walk through this thing. And I really hope that the Lord just strengthens your heart and encourages you with whatever you got going on today. Because no matter what it is, He's got you. He's got you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for this beautiful, beautiful truth. Lord, I think sometimes it's sufficient just to read through that and be encouraged, Lord. We thank You for the reminder that You love us. And there is not a thing on this planet that can separate us from You and from Your love for us, Lord. That Your love for us is perfect. It cannot be improved upon. Lord, it is absolutely complete. It is absolutely perfect. And whether we're being knuckleheads down here or we kind of get off track a little bit, Lord, Your love for us remains. And we thank You for that, Jesus. We thank You so much for that. And yes, there are lots of pressures in this life and lots of things that will come against us. Despite all those things, Lord, You reign supreme. And Your love for us is absolutely perfect. So we want to respond to that today, Lord, with just hearts of gratitude, hearts of praise. Lord, You are so good. You are so absolutely amazing. And thank You for pursuing us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for everything that You are currently doing for us right now in our lives. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a gentleman that I actually just learned about this week. In all my Bible college studies and just 20 years of studying the Word, and not just the Word, but Christian church history and all that. I love all that stuff. There's a guy that we all know, Martin Luther, correct? Reformation and just tremendous thing. A tremendous man who was used by God in a tremendous way. But what you need to understand about Martin Luther is he had a right-hand man. He had a right-hand man. Philip Melanchthon is his name. And he kind of came up alongside Martin Luther. Now, he is the opposite of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was like, no nonsense. Like, I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. I'm going to do all that stuff. Like, he didn't have a care in this world when it came to like aggression and all that. Philip was the opposite. He was more of a quiet, soft-spoken guy, but he was absolutely brilliant. And it's his love for the languages, Greek, Latin. Actually, it was his love for those things that popularized Greek literature yet again in the time frame where he lived. He was the guy who explained to Martin Luther the beauty of the gospel, so to speak. He unveiled to Martin Luther what certain terms meant in the book of Romans, that word that just all built up to setting Martin Luther just free in one sense. Like, he was right there with him. They were side by side. And Philip, the most quoted verse from him that we have on historical records is Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? In fact, when he was dying, he died a few years after Martin Luther. When he knew that he was dying, he was on his deathbed. He asked people to carry him into his study because that was the place where he loved to spend the most time. And it was on his deathbed that he had a preacher come in and read Romans 8:31 to him. And as soon as he read Romans 8:31 to him, he says, yes, that's it. That's it. And then he went off to be with the Lord. This verse forever transformed his life. This verse was one that transformed Martin Luther's life as well. This verse also had an impact on another key historical figure within Christianity, John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't ever read that, you should. He was sitting in his neighbor's house, just completely in despair, discouraged. Like, he didn't know what to do. And he was there, and his neighbor or somebody else was visiting, and they were going through discussing with each other. And as they were talking, this verse popped into John Bunyan's head. And he's like, this is it. This is the thing. And it completely transformed his life. And then he went on to, he was lifted from his despair. And then he goes on to write tremendous books. The Holy War, he wrote that as well. He wrote a handful of books. This verse has been the thing that the Lord has used to rescue so many people within Christianity, to pull them out of whatever they're going through. Okay? If you need a rescue, you can find it in Romans chapter 8. If you're down, if you're going through some stuff, you need to, your homework assignment today will be reread through this passage of scripture specifically. And well, how about you personalize it? Because you're perfectly fine in doing that. Add your name in here. And I guess the biggest influence in one sense that this had concerning people that this had was Paul himself, because I know he's writing it, but it was the Holy Spirit really just voicing this, vocalizing this basically through him for the sake of the church at whole, at large back then, but then also today. But Paul knows every single thing that he lists in this portion of scripture, he himself personally experienced. And at the end of all of that, he's like, man, the Lord's so good. The Lord's so good. Shipwrecked? Yeah. Lots of times. Beaten with rods? Can't even count how many times. Basically, stones hurled at my head, people trying to attempt my life, accusations made against me. All by religious people, by the way. He's like, I know what it feels like. And this is what makes this so beautiful is who the person that the Lord used to write this. Like, he wants us to feel this. He doesn't want you just to get it intellectually, because that might help you for a little bit. But this truth has to sink down into your hearts. And Paul is like, I want you to feel this. I need you to feel this, because I've experienced all these things. And I can tell you, having gone through all these things, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay, because God is good. He is good. He's in control. And so Paul, building up probably from Romans chapter 5 all the way into chapter 8 to this point, that's where we get in 31. What then shall we say to these things? Well, what are these things? All of the truth of the gospel, how God took you and did all the work for you and I to be saved. He's the one who has justified you. He is the one who has rescued you. He paid the price for you. And Paul started this section basically in chapter 5. And so after going through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and then into chapter 8, he's like, after all these things, considering all this stuff, what do we say to these things? I got an idea. How about hallelujah? How about amen? Like, there are no words to say to these things. That we who do not deserve to be made right in his sight have been made right in his sight. There's not a single person in here deserves what Christ has freely made available to each and every one of us. Paul's like, what can we say? What shall we say to these things? Just as a reminder, chapter 8, verse 1 starts off with no condemnation. Chapter 8, verse 39 says no separation. There's no condemnation. There's no separation. What do we say to these things? Oh, to God be the praise. To God be the glory. He says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And this isn't like a if, like, fingers crossed, I don't know, right? That's not what he's talking about. He's saying since, or rather the proper translation or the better translation is because. Because in the Greek, that's technically the right word to use there. Because God is for you, who can be against you? Let me maybe clue you in on something, because some of you, I think, are wrestling with this. God is for you. Yeah. Can I settle that in your heart and your mind today? But you don't know. You don't know the decisions and the choices I've made. I don't, but he does. And guess what? He's for you. He's for you. That's not my opinion. That's not me trying to like puff you up. I have no intention of puffing you up. Okay? That's not of any interest to me at all. What is my chief goal today is to tell you what the Word of God says. And what the Word of God says, because God is for you, who can be against you? The key to this God being for you is found in what has preceded these verses. And in verse 28 is actually a really good one. It says, and we know, and the we is the saints, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who call upon the name of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We know that all things work together for good to those who what? Who love God and who are called according to his plan and purpose. Or who are called according to his purpose. So if you love God and he has a calling on your life, then guess what? He's for you. Yeah. Nobody wants to see you succeed in this life more than God. And isn't that contrary to a lot of the messages that you hear nowadays? It's like, you better be good. You better watch it. And that's not like God is holy. God is absolutely holy. And I'll continue to say this. There should be a holy reverence, a holy fear towards God. And there should also be an actual like practical fear about God, because like he is God, creator of all things. And in just a breath, he can take you out. But he's your Abba. He's your Papa. It's what the Holy Spirit is testifying inside of you. He loves you. He is for you. He wants you to make it. And if he is for you, then come on, who in the world can come against you? Nothing can win. Nothing can win. No one can win. Let them try. And oh, by the way, they will. But if God is for you, who can be against you? You're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. We want victory. We want no defeats. We want victory, right? This is what has been made available to you in Christ. Victory. There's no more sweating like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. No, you'll make it. Stop relying on yourself. Stop trusting in yourself. Surrender to Jesus. You will make it. You're going to make it. If God is for you, then who can be against us? Verse 32. Here's the proof text to that. Great proclamation. Because that sounds like one of those pie in the sky kind of things, right? Like, yeah, it sounds good. But how do we know it's true? Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's your proof text right there. How do I know God's for me? Because his son went and died on the cross and rose from the grave 3 days later. That's how you know. But I don't feel that. Okay, cool. Your feelings aren't always going to be true to you. They're not going to reveal what's actually going on. What is true is that he died and rose again. And if he paid the greatest price, why would he not pay the rest of it? Why would he not see it through? It's like if you were to take your family on some elaborate vacation, right? Some 7-day cruise, right? You do all that stuff. You pay the tickets. You pay all the heavy price stuff up front. It's done. Then you load everybody up in the car. You come down to the Galveston port and you see that they are charging $25 to park. And then you get mad and you're like, trip's off, we're going back home. That would be insane, right? The biggest price has already been paid. Why wouldn't you see it through to the end? God paid the biggest price. His son dying and raising again 3 days later was the biggest price. Why would he not see it through to the end for you and for me? I mean, we have a really skewed vision of who God is if we think that he's like, okay, I did all the hard work, now it's up to you to finish it. That's not how he works. But yet, that's how we work. Okay, God, thank you so much. I'll take it from here. Worst mistake you can ever make. You're not going to take it anywhere. You will end up eventually going in the opposite direction of what his will is for you. And then he'll bail you out of that because even you yourself can't get in his way. He paid the biggest price. He did all that. He's going to give you what you need to finish. Well, this is not something that speaks to like God is going to give you all everything that you want. Okay, that is not what the text says. And anybody who comes to that conclusion needs to learn how to study the Bible. Okay, because that is not what it says. It isn't like you give your life to Jesus and then he has to give you everything you want. That is not true. That's actually a false teaching. He will give you what you need because he's the good shepherd. He will provide for you what you need. And sometimes what you need isn't always what you think you want, right? Because we have ideas of like, well, I understand that most people will categorize this as a want, but for me, it's a need. And God's like, no, what you need is what I'm going to give you. And he's so good because even in the providing for us all of our needs, like he provides for us the things that we didn't even know we needed. And all of it's a blessing. And I keep quoting this verse because I really think that this verse needs to be sunk down into our hearts. But James 1:17, man, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, Father of lights, in whom there is no shifting or variation of shadow, right? I know I butchered that, but that's pretty close though. James 1:17, every good gift comes from him. And that good gift is exactly what you need. And sometimes it is what you want. And that's beautiful. And you're like, oh, I needed it, but I also wanted it. And God's that good. He's not the curmudgeon within the sky who's like, I know you need this, and I also know you want it, so that's why I'm going to withhold it from you. And you're like, that's who does that? That's mean, right? Like, no, he's like, I know what you need, and I also know the desires of your heart. And if your desires align with my will for your life, then I'll provide for you what you need. And sometimes those two work beautifully together. He will take care of you. He will see you through to the end. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to bring an accusation? Who's going to press charges against God's kids? Oh, there is someone, Satan. Oh, and he's got minions too. And he likes to use those guys to bring charges against God's kids. Well, we know who the judge is. The judge sitting on the throne. And you know what he does with those? He dismisses them because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Even if they are true, you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been justified. It is not that you are being justified. You have been justified. Every wrong you have done, past, present, future, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So in the end, or when you have Satan, who is the accuser, standing before the Lord, how that works, why he lets that happen, I don't know. Right? I'd rather it not be that case. But you know what? I don't even sweat it because my lawyer is the best in the world. There's nobody. And like, bring the charges. Bring all the charges. You probably are leaving some off the list, Satan, because you don't know everything. You're not omniscient. So I probably actually have a really long list of wrongs that you're not even bringing to the table. But guess what? Covered. Forgiven. Wiped clean. The slate has been wiped clean. Who's going to bring accusations? And he's not like, this isn't Paul like being afraid of like, oh no, somebody's going to say something about me. No, he's like, I don't care. Because in Christ, man, it's been covered. It's been covered. This does not give us license to go and do what we want to do. Please understand that. We've been building up through that argument all the way from chapter one, basically, that Jesus didn't die on the cross so you could do whatever you want to do. His blood doesn't like cover all of your sins so that you can go and sin more. Okay. There should be an awakening inside of your heart and your mind where you're like, oh, that was a tremendous price he paid on my behalf. I should probably stop doing the things that caused the separation. Right? So we learn. And that's why it's justification as a once and forever done act. And then that transfers you into sanctification, which is the process where you will be a knucklehead. Okay, that's a nice way of me saying that you're a sinner. You're going to sin. But can I tell you, Jesus says, clear, clean, clean. You still need to own it. You still need to repent of it because that's a relationship thing you have with him. And you should hate it. You should hate it. Whatever it is that causes, that wants to drive a wedge between you and him, we should hate those things. Sin. We should view sin how he views sin. But you need to understand, before God Almighty, you stand covered by the blood of Christ. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are justified. And in fact, in his eyes, as God is not subject to time, he sees the beginning to the end. He gets a bird's eye aerial of this whole parade, basically, of humanity. From the start to the finish, God sees it all.
You've just been listening to another edition of Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. The verse-by-verse teaching of Romans comes to you from Calvary Galveston in Galveston, Texas. Calvary Galveston is a church dedicated to speaking the name of Jesus into every life that tunes into this radio broadcast. If you're not in the area to spend time with us on Sunday mornings or on Thursday evenings, would you go to breadforthebroken.com and listen to our live stream service? We promise that your faith will grow. While you're there, and if the Lord leads you to do so, there's a specific spot for donations of any size. We'd be grateful not only for this consideration, but also for your prayers. This is a powerful way to be connected to this ministry and to share Jesus with others. We want them to experience hope and new life in Jesus. There's more information about this at breadforthebroken.com. We're so grateful that you took the time to be with us today, and we trust that you'll come again to hear more truth. In the meantime, though, would you email us with what's happening in your life? Being sure to include any questions or comments about today's message. We seek to serve you better, and that helps us to do so. Just visit breadforthebroken.com. Once there, the contact tab at the top of the page will get you started. We look forward to hearing more biblical teaching from Pastor James Grizzle, and we hope that you're on the same page. Will you join us again? Well, we're out of time for today, but until our next edition, know that we are grateful for you. This has been Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you.